CIs that are trying to bring in these different things that they want you to achieve in order to be spiritually mature. He says, I was involved in that. I was actively pursuing the end of Christianity, the end of the Church of God. He wanted it to die. He thought it was a threat. This was a lie. I have to get rid of it. His past was directly opposite in nature versus the life that he now lived. He's gonna soon talk about grace. And now, in the past, it was all about works. I had to achieve. I had to please man in this sense of making sure that the law was perfectly held. Otherwise, somebody was on my back. I was that guy to look up to. He strove above many others. It goes on, it says that he persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He held on to the traditions that were passed on. He was zealous. He was passionate. He was making profit. He was above all the others. Listen, if somebody was so committed to a religion like this and left it, and yet somebody else was coming into what you've left too, if I haven't muddied the waters yet, okay? So Paul, he's a part of this Jewish, making sure that the Jewish law is upheld, and he's part of the Jewish religion, and he's the top dog. I mean, he is pursuing, he's above everyone else in this. He's pursuing it and gaining profit. He's going around and getting rid of Christianity. He leaves that for the gospel. And yet somebody that has a hint of that religion comes over and questions him. He's saying, listen, if I wanted that, I would have just stayed where I was. That's where I was. Why would I be lying to you now? Why wouldn't I have just told you about that religion and just stayed there and worked hard to please mankind? And yet he switched. He went from works to grace because of what God had done. You know, in this instance, the words that are used here as he's going through, as he's being exceedingly zealous, as the words that are being used is described as being a ravaging beast. He's like the bull in the china shop. He is the one that is just raging. Have you ever tried to go smack a bull? Anybody? You want it? Josh? Okay. All right. How did it go? You're still here? Okay. Now, there's some, I don't know, maybe some things missing up here somewhere. The second one. Okay, that's what it was. Okay, all right. But have you ever tried to go smack? I mean, nobody really wants to, unless you're Josh, because there's not much else that is going on in Mount Auburn, I guess. So let's get an adrenaline rush, right? But I mean, have you ever tried to go up to an animal like a bear and try to smack that or try to take one of its cubs or something like that? You know, me, I try to stay away from that. I've got too many other things to do and I want to stick around. You know, I know where I'm going, but I just want to stick around in that sense. I like, you know, being around my kids and my wife. I like being around her too. But I don't want to be around that. You know, I don't play with snakes. You know why? Because I don't want to be eaten by one. And it was just a garter snake. I don't take chances, all right? You know, Eve did, Adam did, and guess where they went? Out of the garden. And I don't play with them, okay? But here he is. He is being described as this ravaging beast. He was a professional. He's a professional at that. But everything changed. In verse 15, excuse me, he went from his past into something totally different, his calling. In verse 15, it says, "But when it pleased God." Remember that? Verse 10, motivation. Pleasing God. Now we're down in verse 15. But when it pleased God. I imagine that conjunction right there is one of Paul's favorite words right there. I was, but when it pleased God. What happened? Who separated me from my mother's womb. So what happened? God had a purpose for Paul before he even became Saul. Before he even came out of the womb, God had a purpose for him. He had a reason for him to live. He had a reason for him to survive birth, to continue on and to even go through the experiences that he went through and to follow the traditions of this Jewish religion here and to go on through to prepare him for the man he needed to become to please God. And as he's going through, it says, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, those are some interesting words right there, which we will not get too in depth on, because then all of a sudden our Calvinists and Arminius will be coming out of the woodworks. Right. I don't know if we have any of those, but let's not bring them out. God knew before Saul was even in existence if he was going to come to him. He knew if he was going to get saved. See, that's crazy. God knows everything. And God was at work. God loved him first. Even before he was born, he knew what purpose he had for him. He was going to be the one who brought the gospel to the Gentiles. You say, why didn't God just kill off Saul back when he was a child before he was a part of Stephen's murder? And why couldn't Stephen just done all of this? Why couldn't Stephen take the gospel to the Gentiles? Because that is what brought glory to God. In that moment, so many people saw in his dying moment his glorifying of God and being ushered into the kingdom. They saw that. Saul saw that. And even though he was a part of that, God was still making his plan work out. You say, does that take away from our free will? No, it doesn't. Where's the balance? Where's the scales on our free will versus God's sovereignty? Good luck on trying to figure that out. There's a lot of Christians that can't stand each other because they're trying to figure that out. They'd rather fight each other than really know who the true enemy is out there, Satan. They've got all kinds of books that you could spend your time through college reading. And most of them are rubbish. Because you know what they all talk about? Mankind. Well, I'm going to follow this guy and I'm going to follow that guy. You know, people get upset with you when you say, I'm just going to follow the Bible. Well, no, you have to claim Arminian or Calvin. No, I don't. They're both dead. You know, I mean, I don't know if they made it to heaven or not. I don't know where their soul went. That's between them and God. But you know who reigns? Jesus.
Well, I've heard of this guy called Ruckman. Oh, please. Jesus is your Savior. Some of you have no idea. Good. Don't waste your time on so much rubbish. There's somebody that came to me and said, there's this pastor that's out in Arizona, and man, he jumps on top of his pulpit, and man, this guy is passionate. He's crazy. They don't even allow him in several different countries because of his faith. No, they don't allow him because he hates people and he uses Jesus' name. He's a divider. And if you don't get saved underneath his teaching, you aren't saved. You have to do it his way. Or you're out. There are so many crazy people out there that are so distracting from the true gospel. And here he is. He's coming in. And it's so interesting. When it pleased God, who gave me purpose before I was even born and called me by His grace. When I was an enemy of Him, before I even was a part of the stoning of Stephen, God called me to something. Something greater than me. Does that scare you, or does that just make you love God more? That makes me love God more. That makes me want to be in awe of our God more. Why? He revealed, Christ was revealed to Paul so that he could reveal Christ to others. That's exactly what it says down in verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. We'll get into that. But as he's talking, he says, this is the purpose that I had. The past, I was all about me, it was all about what I could do. Now it's all about what God brought me to and what I could do for Him. I want Christ to be magnified. This is the difference. A works-based salvation, Jesus plus works, means that I will get the attention. Jesus plus nothing means that Jesus gets all the glory when it pleases Him. A couple of weeks ago, I had a friend of mine. He's an older friend of mine. He called me up, and he lost his wife last year. And immediately after she died, he has his children and she had her children. Her child and the husband rushed in and tried kicking him out of the home that they lived in together for years. Now, according to the law, we all know what the law is. The son-in-law actually became physical with this older man. I mean, this older man who had cared for his wife for years when she couldn't hardly even get around herself. She was so frail. She had such bad arthritis. They actually had to remove a finger because it started going into the skin of her hand. Like, it was just so bad. And he cared for her and sacrificed so much for her over years. And yet they wanted him out. His children were there. Said, press charges. The police showed up. Press charges. Press charges. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He took mercy on the man who attacked him. And then he just gave him the house.
I was just shocked. That was hard for me to take in because I wanted to go up and deal with some stuff, right? I wanted to go up there and deal with some stuff. I wanted to make some things right. And yet, he just said, you can have it. It's fine. You know, that's a perfect image of Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed mercy by not wiping us off the face of the map, but yet then sent his Son to die for us and offer us this gift. And yet so many people turn it away. The true, powerful gospel. That's hard to watch as my friend dealt with that, but yet you should have seen the way that God provided for him after that. He says, I had a life insurance policy that I didn't even know about. And God provided a home. As he walked away from that home, all of a sudden it came in and he was able to go and get another one. I was like, wow, praise God. He was all excited. I was like, you just lost your home of years. You had an altercation with your son-in-law and you're excited? He said, yeah, God provided. He was able to show Christ to people who seemed to hate his guts. And yet God provided so much for him. That's the power of our gospel, folks. And we get to show that. Paul, he gets to see this, calling upon his life in this mercy and this grace. He gets to see this power. And now I get to reveal that to those around me. I get to reveal Jesus Christ. Not the notches on my belt, but I get to reveal Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 16, and he says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Okay, and we know about that when he goes to Ananias, or well, he goes to Damascus, he's led there, and Ananias shows up as he's guided by God to be able to do so, and then he goes Paul, his eyes are cleaned up, and there's a miracle there. And it goes on in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save the Lord, James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. You say, why is he given these details? Here he's saying that I didn't go and get an education from the apostles after this. I didn't go and go to the College of Jerusalem to make sure that I felt like I was okay in the sight of the others. I actually went and didn't receive any message from anyone else. I got it straight from God, and God worked with me. And I think it's interesting that he went off on for 3 years. How long is that? Well, the same time frame as Jesus' ministry. And he's going off for 3 years and he's preaching and he's learning more about God. And what is he? He's just trying to affirm that he got this revelation from Jesus Christ. It took him a while before he even showed up to Peter, and he hung out with him for 15 days and James, Jesus' brother. But you go on into verse 21 through 23, and you see his testimony. It says, afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. What a testimony. saying, I went on to preach and listen, they didn't even know me by face. Isn't it nice that when we have a missions conference coming up, I can get you a prayer card of the missionary that's coming? Isn't it nice when we have the bulletins and we have a special speaker, you can see their face before they even show up, so you know who to go and greet and say, hey, thanks for coming and speaking to us, or this is the evangelist, right? And we could see all those things. We have that kind of technology. They did not back then. He's saying, they didn't even know me face to face. All they knew was my past and now my present. Changed by the gospel. Christ was revealed to him so that he could reveal Christ to others. That's the difference, folks. That's what the true gospel does to true Christians. It changes you. And when people knew what he was and could understand the drastic difference of what he had become. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. What did they do? It's quite lovely. Last point in verse 24, glory. Verse 24 says, and they glorified God in me. I started off the beginning and said, you know, we all have our stories. And we can go on sometimes for days, sometimes for only 5 minutes, because some of you don't like talking to people. But you could go on, me. I could do the same exact thing. And yet Paul, his testimony was heard way before he even got the chance to go, I, me. And yet he didn't. They heard his testimony of what God had done with him with the true gospel and praised God. Now, this is my prayer. Here we are in 2021. When people mention my name and your name, I wonder what story they bring up. Or I wonder if it's just Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've done here this evening. And this is such a powerful passage. God, we find the motive, we find the past, we find the calling, we find so many things here that you're working on in helping us see in Paul's life. The struggles that he met, the things that he left behind, all because it was better to look unto you. God, help us as we move into this next year that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That we could hold on to that verse, that when people mention our names, it's not all about the notches in our belt, but it's about you, the gospel, how it's had a powerful effect in our lives. God, may we be the city on the hill. May we be that light that you've called us to be, the salt, the difference. Not some fake religion, not something that we're trying to please man with, but just pleasing you. God, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.